You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 9:05. Dan Laxer in for Ken Connors. It is the Home Improvement Show, like the man says, and Walter Assey is in studio with me now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Happy to have you again another week.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And you know, it's the first day that Johnny does not call me to tell me where are you.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Well, because we know that you know that you're scheduled and we're not. I mean, he says to me, where, you know, have you heard from Walter? I say the same thing. I say, don't worry, he'll be here.
Always, you know, always. I would not miss it for the world.
You're a highly paid professional. It's nothing to worry about.
Oh, of course.
Once in a while, when we do the show together, once in a while, a question pops up either by a caller or by a texter about sump pumps. And I never think to ask this, but the truth is I have no idea what a sump pump is or what it does. What does a sump pump do?
It's that machine that you would have in the basement to pump the water out that's coming from your French drains. And that's often forgotten by a lot of homeowners because it's in this dingy corner room that nobody wants to go in.
Does every house have one of these?
A lot of the homes have it. Not every house, no. Okay. It's usually homes with higher water tables. And some don't, but most do. And, you know, like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I was at some clients, and they're regular listeners to the show, and, you know, they were telling me that there's some pump. I always ask that question, especially when you're coming into a basement and there's water issues. You want to understand, you know, the mechanics and, you know, what could also go wrong in the future and do the preventive measures. And I'm surprised that they tell me that their pump is 30 years old.
Wow.
A 30 years old pump.
Yeah.
I mean, that's asking for trouble, really. It's you know, any machine could potentially, you know, break down. A machine like this that is that important, I mean, you want to be a lot more attentive to it because, yes, it's a $400, $500, $600 pump, but it could cost you thousands and thousands of dollars in damages.
Yeah.
So not only make sure that your pump is up to date, and you're replacing it before it breaks down, because once it breaks down, it's too late. The damage is done. Also have a backup to the system. Okay, have a backup to that pump. So in case that guy breaks down, something else takes over. Because, you know, what are you going to do? Babysit it every day, every time there's a rain? Mm-hmm. And even if it rains and it fails, what are you going to do? Take buckets and empty it yourself? So, you know, these are things that are they should not be neglected. And you should have a checklist, and you should go over that checklist. Things expire. Things break down. Don't wait for the trouble to happen. You know, and, you know, we talked to with that particular homeowner about a backup pump. You know, maybe potentially a battery-powered pump or a generator. But even as a generator, it's not a backup to your pump itself, right?
Okay.
So you would need to have, I like to see always two pumps in that pit regardless. Okay. You set them up at different levels. So even sometimes when you have a very heavy rainfall and it's not catching up, the other one will kick in and help it. So you cannot lose by doing so. You know, we're seeing how global warming is affecting our weather patterns. We're seeing how severe our rainstorms are becoming. So there's no reason for us not to take precautionary measures and adjust the way we think about our home and how it works.
Mm-hmm. This particular pump use that was 30 years old, how long should a pump last? A sump pump.
I mean, there's not really a day that I could tell you it will break and not break. It's all going to depend on how often does it work.
Yeah.
So in certain homes, it works almost every time it rains. That means that the engine life or the motor life is going to end a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
Others, they don't, you know, they work maybe once or twice a year, depending on the water table of the home.
Okay.
So there's no, it's just a question of, is it old? Okay, you have to ask a question. I personally change them every 5 years.
Okay.
Just because it's a habit and, you know, I like to be preemptive and maybe it's an overkill. But I like to do it. It's part of my check to-do list thing. And, you know, insurance companies today, they don't insure you they have maximums on basements, and that's what most people don't maybe even look or see. They have maybe $10,000 worth of damage. Sometimes they don't insure the basement at all. Sometimes $20,000. So more often than not, we see people underinsured for their basement damage. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying, you know, I'd rather spend every five, six years that $400-$500 on a good pump, and not having to worry about what could or potentially happen. If I go on vacation, if something happens, at least I know that, you know, I have a, you know, peace of mind, I guess.
And are you regularly checking the pump every once in a while, just to check and see that, like, is this something that needs to be oiled or maintained?
Well, cleaned. For sure. You have to clean the pit. You have to, you know, and you know, a good habit would be is, you know, follow the weather, right? So, you know, when they tell you heavy rainstorm tomorrow, or, you know, a warning of a big storm coming. And
yeah, like we did the other day.
Before the storm, the day before, usually you get those warnings that there's going to be a big storm, 80 millimeters of rain, this and that. That is always a good time to go down and see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Right? So that you can always associate, because in a sunny day, we don't think about it. I mean, let's be honest. I don't think about it either. But every time something like this happened, we're always under, okay, is my gutters connected? My extensions are there. Everything is good. So do that turn and follow the weather, and then you will, you know, it's a good correlation for you to not to forget, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Makes sense to me. That's the Home Improvement Show with me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco. 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. 1-800-491-CJD. Wait, I'm not finished. And you can text in to 514-800. Well, speaking of weather, we had one of those warnings the other day, and I actually thought this one was going to be... It was bigger in different parts of town, but I thought we were going to have more thunder and lightning. But there was a house on the West Island that got struck by lightning. And I know it, you know, it's, you know, we hear about it, but it's a freak thing. But is there anything that one, that a homeowner can do to one's house to kind of prevent a lightning strike?
Yeah, there are those lightning sticks that you install on a house that will kind
really?
Of, yeah, yeah. There is, and you know, it's unfortunate. It's very rare, though. I mean,
yeah,
we don't see it often, but it was. We and again, like if you take what happened a couple of days ago, we have, for example, lots of condos and management companies under. We manage their emergency protocols, so
yeah,
in case there's big catastrophe. They're on our list, or we are on their list. And what we do usually is we, you know, give a call to them.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear there's a very strong weather pattern, and we say, okay, this is your checklist. You guys should go up to your roof, make sure that, you know, the drains are not blocked, make sure everything is working, you know, everybody's windows are closed, you know, because
yeah,
in condos you have people that, you know, whatever. And the reason being is because, you know, and typically when we have cases like this, we get overloaded with calls. So the idea for us is, oh, it's not more business. It's, okay, these are my clients. I want to take care of them. The less problems they have, the more I can serve the ones with the real problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a checklist again, and we remind them again, and they appreciate that a lot, because, you know, some of them have called us back and asked, you know what, good thing you told me, because, yes, my roof drain was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had to clean it up, and if we didn't, we would have had a big problem in our hand.
As luck would have it, we have another sump pump question. This is from Rick. Hi there, Rick.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I have a home in St. Dorothy, Laval.
Yep.
Which I rent out. I bought it originally back in 2003. And so from 2003 until 2017, I never had any water in my... sump pit whatsoever. So guess what happened in 2017? We had all the flooding. I decided to go downstairs and check to see if the pump works. No. the motor was seized. But I changed it out, and still I don't get any water from my neighbors, which is concerning. My neighbors get all the water from me. So two things. One, should I be concerned about that? Should I have the French drain inspected to make sure there's no mud and guck inside and make sure everything is working? And two, I'm worried about the catch basin inside the garage, because the I see a pipe going out, but nothing coming in. So where's the water coming from?
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Hang on. Don't go anywhere because we're up against the clock, but we'll answer your question in just a sec.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
And you can reach us here at 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. You can text us at 514-800. When you joined us last, we were on the phone with Rick. And Rick, your questions about your... You had two questions about your sump pump. One, should you clean it? And what was the other question?
The French drain, that was part of the first question. Because I'm hardly getting any water when it rains or even in the spring, but my neighbors do on both sides. They say their sumps run 24/7 whenever it rains.
Yeah.
It's a little concerned to me, but also okay, good. Should I have the French drains cleaned out or leave well enough alone?
Okay, so the first question that comes to mind, are you higher than your neighbors, or you're in the same level?
I'm just a little higher, I would say, but maybe a 4-degree slope.
Okay.
Higher.
Okay. And how old is your home?
2003.
Okay. So 2003 home is a good thing. That means it's not terracotta tiles in your French drain. It's usually PVC, and that does not crush with time, which is a good sign. Okay. Having said that, if you are higher than your neighbors, that might be the reason. But it's also good to check what's happening with your French drains. I'm hoping that whoever installed the French drain have created this chimney stack that you could pass a camera through and see what's happening with the French drains. They have not, I'm guessing, from your laugh.
New construction, minimum code, what do you expect?
Yeah, okay. So that's going to be a bit more challenging for you. Every, 20, 30 years, 15 years, whatever you feel that there's something. Because, usually a dry pit tells me there's a blockage somewhere in the drain. That's that, when you open it up and you see there's no water coming in. Now, how do we know that for sure, which is always a good thing to know for sure, is we pass the camera through the French drain and we see. And if we're lucky, if there's nothing, and just because your house is higher and, whatever. But if you're not lucky, you could have potentially a blockage. Now, that could be sometimes unblocked, or you at least locate where the blockage is, and then the excavator can come and dig that particular area and fix it for you. Now, these blockages typically happen not because of the material, believe it or not, but because of the bad labor. They have either they didn't slope it well, or they did not put enough gravel for the water to filter down and clog the pipe, or they created a banana effect in their installation somewhere, and then things got clogged in there. The idea is the gravel is your filter. So some of them are cheap on gravel. They run out of gravel. They get a truckload. And I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, once they get towards the end, they're running out of gravel, then the gravel quantity decreases. And then, these become your problematic areas in the filtration.
Right.
So how are we going to know that for sure? Number one, it's always good to have a chimney inspection pipe for your French drain. Have one installed, not very expensive. And at the same time, the same people can pass the camera and check it out for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that a plumber or a foundation company?
It's a very good question. It's a foundation company because you want an excavator to be involved. It's a mini excavator. They have to dig down, and they will choose with you the best location for it, so they can access both ends of the drain and pass the cameras either way. But yeah, that's it's for me, anytime I have something that I do as in a new structure, that's one of the first things we think about.
And, in my garage, there's a catch basin, which has water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I only see one pipe, going out, nothing. So where's it coming in from?
what do you mean going out? Is going out?
Going out to the city.
Okay.
Okay. But I've got. and short of like emptying the pit myself, okay, because I haven't, but I put my hand down there because it was pretty mucky.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel any like pipes coming off the side. So, like to know where the water's coming from. Like, any idea? How does it work?
I mean, usually sometimes it's your outside pit that is connected to your inside. So let's say if you have a drain in front of your garage door, it could be draining potentially in your garage pit.
Okay, and there's no drain in the garage in front of the garage door.
Okay, I mean, that I can't really tell you. I would have to to see it, but the mysteries of new construction sometimes.
All right, hope that helps, Rick. Thanks so much for the call. Cheers. 514-790-0800 is our number. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. That's star 8255. And you can certainly text your questions into the Home Improvement Show at 514-800. Dan Laxer with Walter Assey of Renovco. We talked a few weeks ago about seasonal maintenance. And it's funny, I'm starting to see things, you know, like Côte Saint-Luc sent out its winter activity booklet. And there's Halloween. As July ends and October begins, are there certain things that we should start to be thinking about in terms of preparing for the fall, dare I say it?
Yes, I don't want to even think about it. And I can't believe we're talking about it now because you're right. It's, you know, August and then September, your fall. You know, it's gutters.
Yeah.
For me, gutters is this important element of the house, and it does not cost much to clean. Surprisingly, if you call a gutter company and you ask them to clean it, if you don't want to do it yourself, that is, it's about $150, $160,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's always important that it have a good working order so our gutters don't overflow, they don't go down our foundation and then cause all kind of problems. The French drain is great to have in the house, but the idea is not to overload it either. You want to help it, so you want to, as much as you can, you want to steer away the water from the house. So anything that helps doing that, whether it's through landscaping, gutter systems, good practices, that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So gutters is a thing. And, if you can't do it yourself, at least get someone professional to do it. I like to do it usually at the end of the fall.
Yeah.
Because that's when, you know, my gutters would have gotten a beating from the leaves and the trees and what have you. And it prepares it nicely for the winter. The only problem is everybody thinks the same way almost. So you have to book these guys ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
or else you're gonna lose your place in the autumn. And it happened to me one year because I like to call, you know, a professional to do it. I have very high roofs, and I don't feel like, falling down the ladder for a gutter.
Of course,
cleaning.
Yeah.
And they told me it's too late in the season for us, so you're gonna have to wait until the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had to do it myself. But that is. That's why we say plan ahead. And yeah, don't look at the sunshine right, because, you know, the winter is going to come, believe it or not.
That's it. Well, as you said earlier, when we were talking about sump pumps, when it's such a nice day outside, we don't necessarily think about the things that we need to be prepared for when it's not so nice outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800 with Walter Assey of Renovco and me, Dan Laxer. You can call us at 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, that's star 8255. And you can text your questions into 514-800, and we'll get to more of those after the news.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
With me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco, 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and 514-800 if you want to text your questions. I do have a text. We'll get to it in a moment. But first, from Côte Saint-Luc, David, you've got a question about pouring concrete steps.
Not pouring. We had some steps redone a year ago. They're about 12 feet wide. It's a public building, and we have these fissures, about four of them that run from the top to the bottom.
Oh, wow.
When we first noticed it, we brought the contractor in, and he said it's nothing. But being a public building, first of all, from an aesthetic point of view, they're very obvious. And is it something that we should be calling him back for?
Okay, that's when you say... crack, you're talking about minor cracks or very visual major.
They're very visual, but it's basically the thickness of a thumbnail, maybe. But they run from top to bottom.
Okay. So, and how does it run from top to bottom if there's steps? Are you saying it's on every step?
Yep. It follows like a fissure line from the top, zigzags wow. all the way down.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So that could be attributed to many things. Either inconsistency in the mix itself. So when they mixed it was inconsistent. Bad materials, say they added too much water or not enough water. Or bad workmanship. Could be, mm-hmm. Either one of these things. So it is not normal to have it continuous on steps. I've seen it on a newly poured slab. It does happen, and that's you really can't control that because, it's new concrete, and you would have those hairline cracks, unfortunately. Was it watered after it was poured?
I wasn't present when they were doing it. I do know that they did have it covered with burlap for at least 2 days.
Okay, and if it have it covered, that means it was not water. So a good practice should have been watering the concrete after you pour it, and that's something that is totally kind of looked over when you're doing concrete work. When was it poured?
A year ago, a little more maybe. It was last summerish.
It was in the summer. Okay, so the use of calcium is probably not a factor, because sometimes they add too much calcium, and that is also not a great thing. I would definitely call the guys back. I mean, for like you said, for aesthetic reasons at a minimum. And you know what? It's the fact that it's a zigzag form or a continuous form on the steps get me a bit worried, to be quite frank with you. So what happens sometimes is we've seen certain forms that break or the forms were poorly constructed, and that could be part of it as well. So definitely have them back. They should have given you some type of warranty, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, no, definitely have them come back. Definitely.
Very good.
But if David's guy is saying it's nothing, would you suggest he get, like, do people get a second opinion?
If he calls him back and the guy still say it's nothing, okay, it could be nothing too. We're talking about, this is again something that we're not seeing.
Yeah, it's over the phone.
And mm-hmm. sometimes, people see it in different ways. But if it is something that is bothering the homeowner, yeah, definitely get a second opinion and look at it. If it's nothing as per, you can't blame it on the workmanship or the guy just because, it's something that happens. Okay, then it's something that happens, it's cosmetic, and then you do what you have to do afterwards to correct that. But definitely get a second opinion if you're not getting collaboration from the person that poured the concrete initially.
Okay.
Especially that the conditions were right. The guy did it in the summer. They didn't do it. Mind you, certain hot days are not that great, but, it was not done in November or December or, in freezing temperatures or very close to freezing. So the conditions were right to have a nice job. But again, the homeowners sometimes have to also do their part in the maintenance. In concrete, I rarely see anybody watering after they pour.
Mm-hmm.
Typically your contractor will only water it before they leave, but you want to do it for a few days after.
Right.
And you know what? I have not met someone. I do it because I know it has to be done. I poured the new slab in my garage, and I was, watering it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I know it has to be done, and I know the importance of it. So, if they have not watered it themselves, it could be also an issue. So, it's part of a teamwork. Contractor and the homeowner. As long as the contractor does his thing in explaining what is your duty after the fact, as well, and you as a homeowner do a bit of research as well, so it's it becomes okay, he forgot to tell me this, but I kind of picked up the pieces.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, hope that helps, David.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We also got a text in to 514-800, completely other topic. Do you need to have a GFI electrical wall in your kitchen or regular wall switches? Are they to code? What is a GFI?
Yeah, so it's a ground fault interrupter. So it have a separate dedicated circuit And if there's any surge, it kind of have its own protection, which is good practice. Now, usually you see this more closer to water areas. So, for example, usually the code is 3 feet, any plug that is 3 feet within a water source, then you would need to have a GFI. So in a kitchen, for example, the plug right next to the sink should be GFI if it is 36 inches and less away from the sink. So if it is 37, you don't need to.
Okay.
That's if you want to just stick to code. And that's in older homes, we don't usually see those things because it's you know, the code gets updated. So if you go to a 1970s home, chances are you're going to see a regular plug right next to the sink.
Yeah.
So in today's electrical, it won't pass. Electrical code, it won't pass. It's always a good practice to update because you don't, if you actually splash water into this plug, you don't want to have any problems.
Well, that's it.
That's pretty much what, you know, lie down to. In the kitchen, what you're supposed to have a lot of separate circuits. So like for the dishwasher, you have to have a dedicated circuit. For the microwave, you have the, and again, a way to know that is, you know, sometimes if you're told, if I put my toaster, my microwave on, you know, the breaker will jump, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
You're overloading your circuit. So this is telltale signs of what's going on if something wrong happening in the electrical. Don't forget, a lot of electrical fires happen. The source of them is in the kitchen because that's the place usually that takes the most power out of the house, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have the fridge, you have the stove, you have the microwave, you have all the bells and whistles and everything else. So
in my case, my washer dryer is also in the kitchen.
There you go. So, yeah. I mean, this is the place that you need the electrical to be. I mean, the whole house have to be right. But if there's one place that you want to pick, kitchen is where you start.
Something I might have to talk to my landlord about. 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility. This text just came in. And maybe I missed when you were mentioning this. What was the name of the two very good bonding cements that Walter mentioned? One was Versions, but what was the other name?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was...
Was that today? Did
that
I miss
was
something?
Last, no, that was last week, actually.
Okay.
that was last week. It was... I will look into it again, and I will let him know. I did that. That was last week's episode.
Right. Okay.
That's for, I believe the question was for grouting tiles on the outside.
Okay.
So epoxy grouts. If I'm not mistaken, that was the question. Okay. We had a lot of questions last week, so I'm going to have to go back to my notes and just to make sure I don't give him the wrong product.
That's allowed. we will get back to the phones and texts in a couple of moments. Walter Assey from Moravco is that gentleman. I'm Dan Laxer.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And all of a sudden, we get all kinds of calls and texts, so let's get to them. This is Julie. Good morning.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling because I'm from Côte Saint-Luc. I'm doing a repair for my mom's wall on her house in the front entrance where the gutter is not sloped correctly. So I'm getting that fixed. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the water builds up and starts to go nowhere but to the wall and corrodes the bricks. So my contractor and I found water infiltration. We now know that I have to pull out the brick wall. It's not just brick pointing, but it needs to be done properly, pull it out and fix it and rebuild. And I want to make sure that I'm getting in the right hands with the masonry company. I'm also in Côte Saint-Luc, so I'm on that side of the town. And I was wondering if you have recommendations for masonry companies that I could rely on and not worry about falling into the wrong hands and creating a bigger problem after.
Okay, so the first thing you want to know is to identify the exact scope that you want done. That's very important.
Yes, so I kind of figured that out. I'm not an expert in the industry, but I realize what I need to do.
Okay. So if you are replacing bricks, one of the problems that you might run into is matching the bricks that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of cases that those bricks, the colors, the sizes are discontinued, and now you have to go and find something very similar and mm-hmm. try to match it, and it will look like a repair and so on and so forth, especially if it's a very visible area. That's the first thing that you would want to do. My recommendation is you start the research on your own so that, you know, you don't rely on the choice of the masonry company to come and bring you bricks that are not exact. And we see that often that, you know, brick company would say that, you know, this is the brick that is the closest. And then if you would go to the brick store yourself and you would see, okay, no, but this one is better and the sizes are more a match. So start with that. Another trick would be is to turn the brick upside down. So you now use the inside of the brick, and if it's not too corroded, you kind of switch it around, and now you have the same brick rather than a totally different brick. So that's another trick that you might want to entertain as well, if the brick is not too corroded.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So that's one way of, you know, kind of surmounting a very big potential problem in case of a repair. Because don't forget, when they repair, they have to break more. And by breaking more, they could damage more bricks and then, you know, become slippery slope. You think you're changing 5, and by the end of the job, you're changing 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like I'm going to really have to change more because some of the bricks are really shot. They're corroded. They've been left too long and neglected. So that's why I want to make sure I'm getting in to the right hands with the right company, and I was looking for recommendations for masonry companies.
I mean, you know, with masonry companies, you want to, it's a good question, and they're unfortunately not as available, meaning you don't necessarily have so much the luxury of choice because they have a very short season and they get booked pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, number one, you want to pick the guys that are available, because mm-hmm. even if I give you the good guy and he's only available in 2025, not going to do any good. And number two, you want to, you know, kind of research the years in business, you know, the kind of check their references and use local guys, the guys that are very present in your neighborhood. So if you are driving around, you see a truck that is doing masonry work and, you know, he's more present in your neighborhood, start with that, really. You don't need a bigger, I know a lot of bigger masonry companies, but they're not even interested in these jobs. I mean, these guys want to do big jobs and full homes and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I don't really give you a name in particular. All I can tell you is, you know, make sure that, you know, you do your own research beforehand, you know, of what needs to be done as much as you can, because you're right, you're not an expert. And then from that point onwards, be a bit proactive to match the bricks. And then it's pretty straightforward. It's not really rocket science. Once, you know, you can tell if the guy is doing a good job in the joints and, you know, as long as you don't have, you know, badly grouted mortar afterwards and what have you, you should be good.
Oh, okay. So they can't mess it up that much more if I fall into
I mean, if they want, I mean, they can. I've seen paint jobs being messed up. So, I mean, yeah, anything can be messed up. But, I mean, if the guy have a bit of experience, it shouldn't be a problem. It's not a part of a concrete job that or a brick job that is hard. You're not building an arch. You're not building anything architectural with bricks. So
you're just taking what already exists and getting to the problem and then rebuilding.
Yes, yeah. But here's the thing. If you're taking, because if I'm gathering right, you're taking something from the bottom of the wall. So what needs to be good, what needs to be done well is to properly support the wall before you take out the bricks, because that you could have a bigger problem on your hands. So the guy needs to know his most sensitive part of the job is when he starts taking away the bricks, because all the weight is on the bottom. So you have to, that's where his real expertise are going to play a very important role.
So right. He has to start from the bottom to take the bricks out from the bottom?
Well, okay.
If
you're only fixing the bottom.
No, it's going from where the gutter is.
From the top?
Yeah.
Oh, then you don't have a problem.
Okay. Sorry?
Then you don't have a problem. If he's going from the top down, all the way down, then you don't have a problem. It's when you want to do a repair just at the bottom without having to take out the whole wall. That's what I was referring to.
All right. I hope that helps, Julie. Thanks for the call. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to Tony's question. So real quick, let's answer Glenn's text. He's got a 9-year-old condo, and he wants to know simply what kind of grease should he use on his crank windows?
Monkey grease.
Monkey grease?
Yeah.
What is monkey grease?
It's not grease from the monkey, but it's a brand.
Okay.
He wants to grease...
Well, I guess he's got the yeah. windows that open with a crank.
Yeah. There is certain brands that I could send him, but I think there was one that we were using. It's called the monkey grease.
Yeah.
And it works well.
Okay, there you go. There's monkey grease. There's gorilla glue.
There you go. Something about monkeys and gorillas these days.
Maybe we do have time for Tony's call. Is yours a quick call, a quick question, Tony?
Well, I hope so. I have a clay surface or clay ground where the lock is dropping. I filled it in. I put also sod, but I have a problem inside too where the footing has cracked. Now, is there a solution to prevent that the ground from dropping? Because I have trees there too, and somebody told me I have to constantly water the trees.
It's
a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one because you're telling me now that the footing have cracked. How the heck did you have access to your footing? That's my first question.
I had to remove the floor because my floor dropped a bit, the basement level.
Okay.
And I discovered that from inside.
You're on clay?
I'm on clay, yeah. Oh. I did put piles in the front of the building several years ago.
Yeah. I mean, piles is your answer to everything, really, in this case. There's not much you could do if things are still moving. Unless you drive some pile through. I don't really see anything else. I mean, if it's settled, it's settled and it's not moving, great. You could fix the footing. But if you see it's still moving, then you're going to have to drive piles, unfortunately.
All right, there you go. I hope that helps. Tony, thanks for the call. And thank you for all your calls and texts. Walter, of course, you'll be back next week.
Yes, if I receive my paycheck on time.
Okay, well, see you then. I'll make some calls. Jimmy G, thank you very much. As always, Don Kagan Fleming is up next with the 10 o'clock news. Thereafter, The Car Show with Lisa Christensen.